Hey everybody, I have a brand new mini-series podcast called Unspooled. Take a listen to the trailer wherever you listen to podcasts. It's with Amy Nicholson and I as we discuss the best films of all time. It's been super fun. Listen to Unspooled wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like the trailer, please subscribe. That actually helps us a lot. And a big announcement that we are going to be in Denver. That's right, Denver on August 25th. Two shows. Definitely get your tickets at altitudetickets.com. But find us there. If you're in Denver, if you're in Colorado, come out and see us. I don't think we'll be that way again for a long time. Today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. Oh, I love Squarespace. You know why I love Squarespace? Because you have an idea and then they make it a reality because it's so simple to execute your vision with Squarespace, okay? Their websites are intuitive. They look beautiful. Trust me, I know. I've created two websites with them, paulshear.com and the brand new, this is a big announcement, everybody, hdtgminfo.com. That's right. It's a How Did This Get Made info website where you can find out all info about the movies and everything else there. And why did I pick Squarespace? Because they're easy. They're not giving me a deal. They did not even pay for my website. I paid for it out of pocket. That's how much I like these people, okay? I'm being very honest with you. Plus, they have 24/7 customer support. They will always be there to help you, and there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. It's basically the shit. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How many times do I have to tell you? You're nothing if you don't have a fucking website. Hey, people, do you want a weekly news podcast that keeps you informed but doesn't take itself too seriously? Well, subscribe to Fake the Nation, an Earwolf podcast hosted by comedian Nagin Farsad. And now here's the thing. Every Thursday, Nagin invites her favorite comedians, writers, and policy buffs to dish on the news of the week. And just this week, they recorded a very special live episode of the show featuring Earwolf favorites John Hodgman and John Fugelsang that you can listen to right now, okay? The conversations are loose-lipped, insightful, and smart, and you will actually be keeping up with current events while laughing through the pain. So find Fake the Nation on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to audio material that are podcasts.
Now I want to introduce to you a movie where we all said P.U. If you think this rap is bad, just wait and see. After watching this flick, you'll think it's the best in history. We saw Body Rock. And you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid, they judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello people of Largo!
That's a good look.
We are live at Largo. How are you tonight? We are so excited to be here. The whole gang is here, and we are talking about a movie that is unavailable in any format but YouTube. And it's a goddamn travesty. This is a movie that calls for high definition. I appreciate the effort that it took to watch this. And it, I think the rewards were greater than we all anticipated. Tonight, to talk about this film, I am joined by my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
Welcome, Jason.
These are different chairs. Different chairs. They're lower. They're much lower chairs.
So you can look at the audience.
I feel like I'm sitting very low. Okay, cool. I guess this is what we're doing.
You have a lot of chair things in your rider.
I've got a lot of chairs. Yes, yes. A lot of chair specifics. No stools.
Yeah, no.
Don't like them. Don't care for them. Although, I like stools more than I liked this movie.
How dare
at
you?
At some point, I said to myself, Fernando Lamas is wearing two vests. Not Fernando, Lorenzo. His son. Sorry. I'm old enough to have first learned Fernando Lamas and then learned who his son was.
Fernando
at
Lamas.
At one point, I was like, he's wearing two open vests and then a shirt under it. And I was like, that shirt is his chest. He's just so hairy that I mistook his chest hair for another shirt.
And by the way, that means the chest hair is working. That really is an impressive...
He's a hunk. This movie's full of hunks.
This movie captures the 80s in a way that I love. It was not pretty. I feel like in many like New York-based movies, it looks cooler. And I feel like this captured it exactly right.
Yeah.
It's not super cool. It's pretty to look at, but not super cool.
Oh, and it's also like grimy. This movie is like grimy New York, which I loved.
So good. And here to talk to us about all this movie, and I'm sure about the fashions and the hairstyles, my other co-host, please welcome June Diane Raphael.
I'm okay.
June, body rock, thoughts.
Okay. It is, we were talking about this a little bit backstage. It's hard to call this a film, as I think we all know that, you know, language matters, words matter.
Sure.
Is it a motion picture? Is it a moving, honestly, if you break it down, is it a moving picture? Yes. But this didn't cut together for me.
So you'd like a re-edit? You'd like them to just get in there, open it back
open
up,
it
and
back
re-edit
up,
this?
See what they see, bring on a new editor, yep. Fresh eyes.
How about
fresh
this?
Eyes.
How about more songs? Do you think more songs would have helped? Instead of a new song starting every 30 to 45 seconds.
Okay, I will
what
say.
What if a new song started every 15 to 25 seconds?
I was in a rush to watch this, and I just finished moments ago. Oh. So you'll have to excuse me. I am like just post body rock. Just like.
Your body has just
my body has
been
just
rocked.
Been rocked.
I hope after sex tonight, all of you are like, ooh, I am just post body rock.
Just.
If
Chess.
We do not make a t-shirt that is a silhouette of Lorenzo Lamas with his, like...
No, I want a t-shirt that is Lorenzo Lamas. The on the sides is the two open vests. And then it's just... The middle of the shirt is just chest hair.
You know what? I love that. And I also go, let's recreate the bouncer shirt, which had all the rules of the bar on the shirt.
Oh, that's great.
Easy.
Yeah,
and
he was so tough, he didn't even need to say it. He wore it.
Carved into his chest hair is body rock. The words body rock. Like they've been shaved in.
I love it. Get
Guys,
to work,
Internet,
T-Public.
Get to work, you fucking
T-Public.
Nerds.
T-Public. We just released our stellar skateboard shirt, which is pretty amazing.
I saw it. It's great.
All right.
Well, I wonder if Stellan Skarsgård is at all aware of the stellar skateboard scenario and if he is flummoxed by it.
Well,
I shared an elevator with him once and I almost mentioned it.
No.
And I was like, he could definitely beat me up.
Also, it gets into one of those things where you'd have to explain what a podcast is to him.
Yep.
I feel like that would be the big, like, well, but what is it? Like, where would people hear this? No, it is definitely a thing because his Wikipedia page goes from being unlocked to locked often because every time it's unlocked, it is quickly changed to Stellar Skateboard. Some eagle eye, how did this get made, listener, and I love you for it, is making sure that thing stays locked for eternity.
Which also means that it doesn't appear as though Stellan Skarsgård has been in a movie in 3 years. Because nobody can get in there to update that account.
Well, we are very excited tonight. This is somebody we've been wanting to have on the podcast for a long time. She starred along with us in the movie The Disaster Artist. You know her from Mad Men, from Community, and the amazingly hit Netflix show Glow. Please welcome Alison Brie. Welcome.
Hello. Hello. I want you to know that I very seriously asked June if I should do the worm just now in earnest as I came out here.
Well, Alison, there's one thing that you share that none of us do. You've seen this movie twice.
Guys, I loved it. I watched it twice. I should preface this by saying for season two of Glow, I had to learn a little bit of breakdancing.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we actually have a very similar learning to breakdance montage in season two of the show. Take place at the zoo is the only difference.
So you don't have a cutaway of a bear rubbing up against the tree.
No, no.
Or a giraffe just like, huh?
I know this is late in the movie and we're not really getting into this right now.
But you can.
I liked that most of the animal shots, it was not a reaction shot. They were doing nothing at all.
They were just
being animals.
It was
like the middle of the afternoon, a bird just like staring off into the distance. Yeah.
It was almost as if home footage of someone's trip to the zoo was intercut in this movie.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's just start off right here at the top. This movie is kind of like Staying Alive, kind of like Cocktail, and then it makes you realize how amazing those movies are.
Yeah.
Because this one is, it's a real tricky thing to have a lead character who has no talent.
Yep.
Well, listen, yes. I don't think I've ever, I thought a number of times during watching this movie, like, I wonder, I don't care for him. And I don't want it. I don't know anything about him, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, I both...
There's a lot of, like...
We're not saying Lorenzo,
like,
by the way. We're saying the character Chili.
Chili.
Chili. Is written as having nothing about him that is interesting.
He seems to be... But inexplicably, he succeeds as in spite of himself in a way that, like, I kept being like, oh, the narrative is going to be about the fact that he's talentless and is going to be revealed. But no, in fact, he is like a hero at the end for being like a horrible person to everyone involved. Basically, he treats everybody in his life like a piece of shit. Then when he gets treated like a piece of shit, all his friends are like, oh no, they were mean to Chili. We love him. And I was like, Chili has basically ripped everybody off, asked them to teach him how to do their skills, which he then makes money out of.
But sort of, except I would just like to point out that there are two Chili learning to breakdance montages in the movie. But we never see him breakdance in
one
performance.
Not
he spends
a one
all
time.
This time learning how to do it, and then it cuts to him on stage kind of rapping.
And when he does get his big number, it's a slow song.
It's a ballad. Like, it's a ballad.
It's a ballad, yeah, which does not seem at all right in the vein of this movie.
Well, okay, so the movie starts, and I thought, oh, it's a graffiti movie.
Agreed.
And by the way, I'm excited. Like, that's interesting to me. Body rock. Like, okay, I don't know how it's going to relate, but great. And then I thought, no. It is about breakdancers.
But then I
thought, no. It is about MCs. And then I thought, no. It's about club ownership. I mean, there is no... I still don't really know what Chili's goal is. Like,
well, when he goes
into his dream job.
Yeah, when he goes into the manager's office, doesn't he want the guy to manage him
as a graffiti artist?
As artists, because he'd gotten money for the graffiti artist Blizzard. Was that everybody that person's knows, name?
Yeah. Who makes because, and he makes a brief appearance early on in the movie, and they're like, look at that guy, he's so smug. And it cuts to him, and he's just smiling at them.
He's like a nice guy.
Looks like a fucking sweetheart.
I kept being, I kept being like, is his name actually Blizzard? I turned on the closed captioning on YouTube, which might as well just be someone typing words into YouTube concurrent to the movie that are not related to the movie. And it did not help me understand if that person's name was or was not Blizzard.
I will say that it's a tough sell for a mainstream movie to be about a lead character who really wants a good manager. Like, yeah. I really need
but
good
again,
management.
To manage what? To manage what?
I would like to point out that when Chili, early on in the movie, he's sitting in the office of, the unemployment office, and he says, and I quote, she asks him what his dream job is, and he says, I want to be like Muhammad Ali in his prime. And then she says, so you're a boxer? And he's like, no.
I think that scene was to be like, Chili's so cool, he sticks it to the man. But she seemed nice.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, I felt bad. I felt worse for her because she was sick. Her character is working at the employment office, trying to get morons like Chili a job.
Yeah.
Who, when he's there, is again not wearing a shirt. She has shown up for work sick.
In terrible lighting.
Yes, and this fucking asshole's like, I don't give a shit. My nips are out.
Let's take a look. This is for real.
I want you to understand, this movie should be about this woman. That's a harrowing John Cassavetes movie that I would watch.
I mean, I don't even think... Here, I'll...
Chester, what
Chili.
Kind... Chili. What kind of work would you like?
So I wouldn't want to be a trash man.
Look at his chest. It's so hairy.
If you could do anything you wanted, what would that be?
Anything.
Sure.
I would like to be like Muhammad Ali in his prime.
And he puts his fist to her face.
No.
When you go out for a job interview, do you usually dress the way you look today?
Absolutely. I like to look fresh.
Fresh?
Yeah, fresh.
She goes home to someone who's like, how was work? And she's like, not good. Not good. You should see what's up. I had a chili and an easy today. Things are bad. They were not wearing shirts.
I feel like Chili looks like the villains from The Karate Kid throughout the whole movie. Like, he always looks like he's in a gi, but it's not. It's just like a weird belt and his open shirt and his headband.
His fashions, collar. I mean, we could spend a lot of time. At one point, there's like a leather duster.
Oh, well, he says his big dream for when they get rich are that it's going to be all limousines, leather coats, and we can buy a condo. And he does get that leather coat.
He gets all three.
Wow. Oh, wow.
We're just taking a look at some of Chili's best looks.
Wait. While this picture is up, I just want to note something about the name Chili that through most of the movie I thought it was spelled like the food, the spice.
Yeah.
Spelled with a Y?
It's spelled with a Y,
which
like
is
Chili
troubling.
Willy.
Like okay. Chili Willy.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. He is unwell. He is not a well person. That is insane. Chili?
Well, Chili is these are intense looks. I don't understand how someone who makes no money can afford all these looks. And are they all living together in the same apartment?
No, he lives with his mom.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Come on, Paul.
But he was with.
What about his mom, Paul?
Wake up, Paul.
What about his mom?
His mom, who sits in her room watching old-timey movies from the
40s. By the way, his mom, who suffered a fall at one point,
his mom
it sounded
is unwell.
Like.
Unwell.
Yeah. Oh, she's
unwell.
Not well.
So when Chili goes back to the house with Darlene, and is pretending that it's his apartment, and he's outed because there's a huge crash from the bedroom. Okay. His mom has fallen off the bed. Like, it is a thump that is so loud and so unsettling.
It's equivalent to the ladybugs drop off the chair.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like something happened in there. Like, a person, like, in my mind, like, she was drunk and had a little too much to drink, and she was watching her programs, and she fell. And you should check on her.
He doesn't...
Move a muscle.
No. He's not, and he finally has to, like, shamefully admit, my mom's in there.
But doesn't move to see that she's okay.
The wig on Grace Zabriskie is... And she is... I mean, she is mere years away from her daughter, Laura Palmer, being ripped from her body. One of the all-time great character actors of this era, Grace Zabriskie, is amazing in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that even when Chili is trying to be charming, there's something unnerving about him when he's in the kitchen eating the roast beef. And,
this is a world in which everybody's clocking the roast beef.
And when the girl comes in to get some post-shower roast beef. Ooh, I'm feeling so nice and clean now. Let me just chow down on some roast beef. And she even holds it up, and it looks like prop food that has been left around for a long time because it didn't eat, terrible. But he smiles at her like, I wrote down like the Golden State Killer, just like.
Oh, yes!
It's open mouth. Like maybe fangs will come out and now I will murder you.
Well, he's hiding that last piece of roast beef that she's like, oh, I thought there was roast beef. And he's like, and he just looks to the side and like shoves a bunch in his mouth really fast. It was off-putting.
It was very off-putting.
I would say that everything sexual in this movie is off-putting. Every kiss, every... We'll get to the sex scene.
I like
but
that
sex scene.
I'm glad you brought this up in relation to the roast beef scene because right before, there is a questionable exchange between this chick and her brother who yanks her out of the bathroom by her towel. It was a little weird.
What do you mean?
Listen, there's a lot that's problematic about Chili. I mean... And by the way he's handled is so, the character of Chili is so upsetting because he's a violent man. And he's a violent man. He is unhinged as a person. Sorry to skip ahead, but in one of the last scenes when he's getting the other Claire off the stage, I mean, he's physically just intimidating her and is aggressive toward her. She has to leave.
He just picks her up and holds her really tight.
Threatens to hurt her physically,
and then
she
gets
off the stage. I mean, this is not a good person. This is just not a good person.
But at least he's got talent. Nope.
But no, truly, he's a homophobic, misogynist.
Yeah.
Like, and by the way, the movie doesn't deal with that on any level. And let's just take, like, the homophobia out of the equation for now. But just even his treatment of women throughout the movie is so terrible. And the way women, I mean, Darlene has no standards. And is treated like shit throughout. He does nothing to redeem himself to her.
Well,
I mean nothing.
Well, I would argue that...
Or his friends. He's a bad person to her, to his friends.
Absolutely.
He's a bad... He is selfish and not generous to literally anybody in the movie.
Well, I would argue that in these movies, and I go back to Cocktail and Staying Alive, both of those characters have similar journeys. Like, they want to get somewhere, they become dicks, and then they come back to their life, you know? But, well, Staying Alive is a little different. But there's an element of charm to all of these people, and Chili seems to be the side character that you're like, he should not be, like, the lead should not be hanging out with Chili. But Chili is the lead. It's like the movie should have been about someone else who just had a little bit more of a heart
Chili
of gold.
Chili is like the bad influence friend.
Yeah. Yeah, Chili gets a little bit too much screen time because even, like, when they show him, I mean, I don't even understand why he's with Darlene. That whole relationship,
and
I don't get what either.
And why can't Darlene join Body Rock?
She works at the hospital. She's got shit going on.
And there's some great ADR done in the hospital scene. Replacing fuck, I believe,
they
with
had to get
screw.
This, they had to get this down to a PG-13, or PG. I think I have that scene in the hospital, which is a great one here. Here we go.
Darlene, are you going to have a break soon? I need to talk to you.
Why don't you just go talk to your little freak?
What little freak?
Or the rich girl.
What rich girl?
The blonde, Chili.
How do you know about Claire?
That's it. Just go and talk to Claire.
Darlene, that ain't no big thing.
You know, I think that's your problem.
We don't even really talk.
You just screw.
Basically.
Why don't you just go screw her and talk to yourself? You know? Or if that doesn't do it for you, why don't you just go talk to her and go screw yourself?
Three screw yourselves.
And all of them are observed by, like, superiors of hers.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go screw her and talk to yourself? You know? Or if that doesn't do it for you, why don't you just go talk to her and go screw yourself? Sorry.
Oops. Sorry, boss. Well, she stood up for herself. And then she really came around just because he grabbed her off stage. I mean, why did she come around?
Why did any of them take him back any time? He never owns his selfish mistakes. He never apologizes. There is nothing about his actions that tell me he deserves... He literally is thrown out of the... Anyway, whatever. But, like, he jumps down out of the rafters and is like, I'm here. And everybody's like, what? We love him now. And it's like,
Why?
He's a villain. I'm pretty sure Chili is a villain for all of you. He's hurt all of your lives. They're like, you get in, and then you can bring us all up. And he's like, yes. And then he brings nobody
Not
up.
A single person.
Then he takes the victory for himself and is like, but I'm going to pull everybody up. And everybody's
Never
like,
does.
All right, I'm in.
Never remembers to put them on a list. That's the literally the least he can do.
But by the way, let's talk about this list for a club. Because what is this club?
No idea.
This is like Sleep No More style dance numbers that I don't know where the stage is at certain points.
This is the largest club that has ever existed. At one point, they go up a giant escalator to another floor. And then they're like in a private area of the club that's also the size of... two stages.
And the stage where they do the dance routines, they don't have dancers like on stage dancing to music. They have like performance pieces in black light with like tunnels and tubes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, where is this on? It's like, are you chasing it like Sleep No More? Are you running around following the dancing? Because he literally walks into the crowd is, hey, it's Chili. Then he runs down a tunnel and then the dance numbers are like, well, where did he go? Like, that's the club. That would be like if I just ran backstage and like, I'm doing the podcast, and I ran out to the parking lot. It would be upsetting to you.
Now listen, would I like to go to a club like that? Yeah, I would.
I did like the giant boombox.
Love
like
yeah,
that set
very,
design, I thought was terrific.
There is some real, you know, stage value and performance happening. I've never seen anything like it.
How much are they flipping it? Like, how many days is the giant boombox there? And they go, oh, we got a new thing. Mummies. Great.
I would like to believe that every night it is a new theme, completely new performance. Like, they're putting a lot of work in.
Listen, the one performance I really loved was the skeleton piece.
Yes.
That I thought was pretty cool.
Amazing.
I agree 100%. Chili himself didn't contribute much to it.
Not a thing.
No, as a matter of fact,
you were... marched in place.
Yeah, like, well, the director of this movie is a music video director. As a matter of fact, this is the only movie he ever directed.
And now it all makes sense.
Come on, yeah. Are you serious?
He directed videos for Bon Jovi and Motley Crue. So I believe that he did capture the dancing well, and probably is the reason why the movie opens with two back-to-back musical numbers without any dialogue. A very bold move not to introduce your characters until you're about 7 or 8 minutes into the film.
Today's episode is also brought to you by this amazing new documentary. It's by a therapist turned actor, Tobias Funke, and he is trying to get the word out about his struggle with never nude syndrome. And it's a powerful, moving documentary about the never nude community, a society that, is ashamed or embarrassed to ever view themselves fully naked. I mean, as far as they're concerned, the least amount of clothing that they will wear are tight jean cutoff shorts. And, you know, it's about his journey, about living in a world and a society that, portrays nudity as raw and sexy. And, you know, it's a pretty devastating problem. I didn't even know it was out there. I mean, it's not visible to the naked eye. I mean, it's a serious condition. It affects dozens of people. So if you're interested in kind of finding out more about the never nudes, you can glimpse their documentary on Netflix on May 29th. If you want to learn more about this debilitating disease that, again, affects so few people, definitely check out Never Nudes on May 29th on Netflix. And, you know, a tip of the hat to therapist turned actor Tobias Funke. I wouldn't say to quit his day job because his acting is a little suspect. It's like almost like Carl Weathers taught him how to act. People, you love summer, right? Oh, we all love summer, and we like to stay very cool or getting the nice hot rays of the sun. Well, guess what? I'm about to blow your fucking mind because Ben & Jerry's is going to make your summer even better because they've just come up with something that is so delicious, so refreshing. It is going to be the hit of every party and every beach day and everything that you do. They're called pint slices, okay? Let me explain this. Picture everything you love about a Ben & Jerry's pint, but handheld. So it's basically like huge chunks and swirls surrounded by Ben & Jerry's legendary ice cream enrobed in a chocolate coating. Pint slices are everything that you love, all right? Sliced. That's right. They have 7 flavors, including the Tonight Dough, Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough, Cherry Garcia, and Americone Dream. One slice gives you all of that delicious Ben & Jerry's flavor. You can take it on the go. You can take it at home. Basically, here's how I feel. Eat a pint of ice cream. It's delicious. It feels good, right? But maybe you have a little bit of guilt. No guilt with pint slices. And even if you have like 4 pint slices, no guilt there either because you ate them smaller. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Here's the deal. I've had them. They're delicious. They're now a treat in my freezer. My kids are even into pint slices, which I don't know if I should be sharing them. I should be giving them a lower level ice cream. They don't know. Their taste buds aren't formed yet. Ben & Jerry's is for the adult who has a discerning palate for delicious ice cream, or at least that's what I'll tell them. Anyway, it's Ben & Jerry's. Any way you slice it, find out where to buy or get them delivered at benjerry.com. That's benjerry.com.
Talking about all the the negative stuff about chili, we can be here all day, but there's one person that we love, I think we all love, Magic.
Magic.
I knew you were going to say Magic. And I would argue, Jason, that this is where we see the redeeming side of chili in his friendship with a young child.
Okay, or you could argue that he is stealing Magic's talent, passing it off as his own
Magic
to marginalize
teach him
Magic.
His signature moves. He only teaches him
that's the
easy
basics.
Stuff.
That's true. That's
but
true.
This is what's so weird about Terrence and the other investor.
Donald?
Donald, don't
Donald
do drugs
Trump?
In here, Donald. Just don't do drugs in here, Donald.
I'm certain that character is based on Donald Trump.
Okay, because Donald fascinates me, and we could be here all night to just discuss Donald. But what's so interesting is that they're not interested in Magic. Like,
no.
Why did they see watch that show and not want only Magic
now
out
here's,
of everything they
Now,
saw?
Here's my thought about that. Because when they go to see him at the breakdancing club,
Magic's brothers are seemingly in, and I'm going to say a biker gang, because they are dressed like a biker gang people, and they're so into their little brother Magic that they're just bouncing the bottles on the bar, and then they break, and when they break those bottles, they go immediately into a handshake. And I think that frightened those guys off. They're like, oh, they broke those bottles.
These people are too rowdy. We got to go.
Yeah.
I have a quick point to make now that you brought up of the slamming down of those bottles and this first performance, which was really my only problem with the movie. For a movie about music and dancing...
Is it?
Dancing?
No.
It was especially lacking in... rhythm. People are off beat
all the time.
So much of this
all
movie.
The time.
Most notably Chili, the first time he tries to rap sing and introduce the Body Rock
awful.
Crew. It's so off. And I would argue that those guys are also slightly off beat as they're trying to clang along.
Well, I mean, the rapping in this movie is amazing. I would like to play that the second rap one, because I feel like that's where he's kind of like, where he's introducing the crew. There we go.
Raise your hands up high and shout it out loud and say, yeah.
Yeah.
I say, yeah.
Yeah.
Say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Say, hell, yeah.
Hell, yeah.
And now I'm going to introduce to you another member of the Body Rock group. He's been with us since he was 17. He's lean, he's mean, he's a rock machine. When I hit, like I hit him with my rhythm, like around my neck, and I was down, like that's the
he's not on
jam with the best breakdown on the rest of J A M K. That's all I got.
I'm just going to pause it for 2 seconds. It's a breakdown these first two performances. So, Chili, thoughts?
Well, again, not on beat. What?
Like
to me, this is what it reads as. Like, I've done my share of musical theater, not to brag. But there's
June, you were
called...
what? What did you do? Name the roles.
I did Sweet Charity.
Great.
I did Fiddler on the Roof.
Great.
You need more?
Can we get a taste? Can we get a taste?
Well, what I was going to say, absolutely not.
No, no.
It's not
no.
the time
no,
or the
no,
place.
No.
But I will say there's something called a marking rehearsal, which is like, I'm going to give nothing. Like, I'm going to give you nothing right now. And I'm going to mark. I'm going to, like, walk the beats. Here I go. 7 and 8. And
you haven't lost a step.
Yes, but it's like, I mean, I could do better than that. That's...
But you were marking.
The
marking rehearsal
is just like, let's just get our marks. Let's go through the motions of what this is going to look like. That's what this is. This is just a marking. It's like, oh, these are the words. This is sort of the rhythm. And
well,
we're going to go
through it. Even if it is, it's
it.
Unsuccessful.
Totally. But that's then, all. This is the finished product, though. Like, this is where they said, got it, moving on.
Yes.
Like moving on to the next
The one
thing.
Where Lorenzo Lamas is never on beat, and the guy that comes in second is not on mic.
Never.
Yes, but the guy who comes in second, who actually can rap and is seemingly doing something amazing, well, I can't hear a word he's saying. I have no idea what's happening.
Well, I would also argue here that this whole movie feels like they're like, who could we get? They went through a list of names. They landed on Lorenzo Lamas, and he's like, but I don't break dance and I don't rap. And they're like, don't worry about it.
We're going to do it.
And
we're going to
surround you with those people.
We will make you look good. We'll do it all. And then he's like, gets to the scene. He's like, you know, I just feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable committing. He's like, just talk it. Be like The Rock and Moana. Just get through that song. Just do it. And by the way, I like that song a lot.
I like it
but
a lot.
It's a good song. But it's like, just like, let's do that. But you can't like, talk through rap. It's talking.
Well, it's also difficult. It's also difficult because they do try and surround him with people that can sing, that can dance, that can rap, that can whatever. But the narrative of the movie is that he becomes inexplicably the star, having proven his value to be literally zero.
Like, and they point it out. Like, he even his friend at the beginning is like, what are you going to do? They make a big point of how he can do nothing. And after...
This.
2 minutes of this performance, the people are like, he's our guy.
He's it.
Nobody, I see nothing else. That's the guy who's going to headline our club.
You are a goddamn idiot if you can't think that Magic is the one. Like, take Magic. Take
Magic
that bigger
doing his little well, but then we're, butt on the ground.
But then yes, we are, please. You almost have to be, though, that this movie is about basically white people taking black culture and saying the definitely. White guy is the person that we will take. We won't take any of the minorities in his crew, even though he's a garbage monster. We need the guy in our place to be white for all the white patrons,
by the way,
I guess.
It's a very white breakdancing crew. I mean, Magic is the only,
There's a guy I like to call White Luigi, but and maybe that is not PC either, but he just has like a spoof of curly hair and a big mustache, and he always looks like he's dressed like a plumber, but with a midriff and a scarf around his neck, and he does a lot of arms and shoulders.
Very good dancer.
Like a lot of chugga, chugga, chugga.
Very good dancer, that guy.
He's a great dancer.
I want to talk about the guy that was not on mic that we talked about here. His rapping is like, I'm ribbity rappity ribbity bap, ribbity bibbity. Like, he's not saying words, and he's not rapping so fast that he's like, it's not like Eminem where he's just like nailing out lyrics.
Is he
like,
not saying actual words? No wonder I couldn't understand him.
He's literally saying like, ribbity ribbbity rap. Like, here, take a listen again. Here you go.
Stop saying ribbity. Well, I hit like I have with my ribbon around my neck. I was talking about the wife on me, Jam.
Jam with the best break done all the rest of J A M K. That's all I. In the beginning, it's.
And he runs out of steam and just slows way down. Jam with
the best. Yeah, he's saying like, ribbon. Yeah, like I have with my ribbon wrap around my neck. I was talking about the wife on me, Jam. Jam with the best. I mean, it's...
I would love it. I would love it if one of our listeners would transcribe this song and do it as a plaintive folk ballad. That and Vanishing Boys, which is awesome.
Not mad at the music in this movie.
I loved a lot of the music.
Or the dancing. It must be said, the breakdancers in the first sequence are awesome. The skeleton dancers are great.
When they do that camera underneath the breakdancers, like I guess they were on a glass floor or something, I thought that was pretty cool.
And then they do an overhead shot of just people helicoptering their legs in slow-mo for too long.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. I took breakdance lessons at the YMCA. We would sit in my house and I would put down cardboard and I would watch Magnum PI and I would practice breakdancing moves. I would breakdance in fifth and sixth grade in the halls at my elementary school.
Wow.
We would all breakdance. We would breakdance at bar and bat mitzvahs. It was hot.
Okay.
Like,
I'm gonna
full little Greek boy mustache. Miami Vice style clothes at a bar mitzvah breakdancing.
Do you remember any of those moves?
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm going to say something and you might be
upset
by this.
I would get hurt immediately. Yeah.
So I'm not a huge fan of the form breakdancing.
Wow. Oh, okay, wow. Cool.
Yeah,
wow.
You were.
I mean, you mean my art form?
Yeah.
Do you mean my craft? Okay. Interesting.
But
go ahead.
I guess I'm curious. Like,
please continue.
Well, I will.
Oh, for the record, I hate musicals.
That's fine. I just feel like I'm curious what happened in those classes, because to me, I always think like it's just a bunch of gobbledygook.
Wait, the dancing of breakdancing?
Breakdancing. I'm like...
No, there's like
Maybe this is something terrible I'm saying right now, but...
There's like real technique and craft.
Guys, as someone I mentioned earlier, recently learned to break dance for season 2 of GLOW. It does actually take quite a bit of skill, June.
I feel like
there's a lot of isolation, body part isolation, and fluidity.
Yes.
Should I do the worm?
Yes. You think that's gobbledygook? You think this Danny McBride motherfucker is doing gobbledygook?
Okay, I do.
You think that's gobbledygook? That's Danny McBride, Stone Cold, crushing.
No. Here's the thing. I feel like if I got myself into a state, if I got myself worked
up enough, are you saying like you believe?
June, challenge accepted. New York City, bring your best. When we're there, break off.
I could get
June,
there.
June, are you saying...
With no
are you saying,
practice.
Are you saying...
With no practice?
No practice.
Oh, we are going to battle
class.
So
I could
hard.
Get there.
Wait, let me ask you this. So do you think that what was happening in Wild Wild Country was breakdancing? Like, they get so into
that,
it?
That is an excellent question.
They got worked up into a state. A state.
Oh, where you can't help but, like, pop.
Yes. Pop and go.
And lock. How dare you? How dare you?
I'm not worried. I can do it.
How
June,
dare, we are going to battle.
See it dismissively goes, I could do that.
I could.
All I know is that when we're next to New York, I want DJs, I want rappers, and I want two squares of linoleum.
I will say, we did talk a little bit about the music before. It's worth mentioning that the theme song peaked at number 48 on the Hot 100 chart, and Lorenzo Lamas also got on the Billboard 100 chart for the track Fools Like Me. Both got in there in 1984, people.
That is very depressing.
Yeah.
And I
1984, is that when this came out?
Yes, this movie came out in 1984, the same year, Breakin'.
Yep.
Breakin' 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Beat Street and Body Rock came out. But here's an interesting thing. Breakin' and Breakin' 2, same year.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember I had the Beat Street record that had a pullout poster of breakdance moves in the record.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Breakin' 2 was my, I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best.
But there are no real moves,
clips,
are there?
Only clips.
Wow!
Wait, what did you say?
Wow!
What did you say?
Wow! Reddit? Reddit? Let's get this going.
No, I don't feel like there are moves. You just
Holy
get out there, you go,
cow.
And whatever
Holy
happens, happens.
Cow.
June, you
Wait,
couldn't,
but couldn't
be
you
more
say
wrong.
The same? Couldn't you say the same
no.
about Merce Cunningham? Couldn't you say the same? He's just starting and going. It looks like gobbledygook. I'm looking at you, Martha Graham. I'm
no,
looking at you, Twyla Tharp.
No,
I'm
no,
looking
no.
at you,
that type of
Bill
modern
Moses.
Dance. No, no, no. That type of modern dance, like, I don't think I could do successfully. I think I could do this.
All right. I am pulling up
wow.
Super Dancer, one of the best break dancers according to YouTube. Let's see if you feel the same way about this.
I would love it if this. I will say those are the moves I learned at the YMCA.
All right. So I'm going to make a quick disclaimer. So I think that I can do the breakdancing moves in Body Rock.
Yes. Yes.
I think I could do those easily.
Oh, man.
Well,
I can't wait till we have a break off.
With any... You know what, June? I think you suffered the same fate as Chili. You saw the easy route of breakdancing, and the fame went to your head. And you know, what's next going to be? You're going to say, like, you want a cup of Folgers?
Oh, like, God.
When Chili is seen being his most, like, dickish, he's like, cup of Folgers would be tight.
And you know that's the exact same line his mother says to him earlier in the movie. There's a number of instances where Chili says lines that other people have said to him throughout the movie. So when she's watching TV, she says, a cup of Folgers would be nice. And then he says it later.
Can we just talk about that whole sequence after Chili has sex with Sheila from A Chorus Line? And
that sex scene,
we can start with the sex scene, and then we definitely have to talk about his walking down the street and speaking straight to
Whoa.
Camera.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, that was crazy. His leather jacket, like, strut, like... I read online that he ripped 25 collars off of that jacket from popping it so hard.
Well,
he popped the collar every cut.
Let's listen to the post-sex trench coat. I don't even know what this is.
What is this?
It's apparently a very popular cut in Europe right now, he says.
I'm not saying what is the outfit. I'm saying what is this sequence where he starts straight up Ferris Buellering the movie.
I thought it was like a commercial break in the middle of the movie. I was like, oh yeah, this is like a 1984.
It made me uncomfortable. I was like, don't talk to me.
Can he see us?
Yeah. It's like when you make eye contact with a performer. Like,
does he know I'm jerking off?
All right.
Just at the number of popping of the collars?
It's not a commercial. You think it's a commercial. It doesn't make any sense of what this is.
It could end with, so come on down to Wilson Leather. And I'd be like, cool, man. I will.
The only leather that will withstand 20 pops of your collar, guaranteed.
I like to think that the director was really, that was his super creative moment. Like, we'll get him through the window of the car as it rolls down and down from the fire escape.
Yeah, it's very artistic. I mean, and that's the thing about this director. I feel like the angles are very music video, but the putting it together as a movie is where it got fishy.
Yes, yes.
By the way, I do like the art, like when he's with this woman, she's an artist, like her apartment, I just noticed in the background, is a paint platform as their bed. Like, it's something that you would build to paint like a ceiling. It's a paint platform. And that's the bed. It's in the corner. I was like, cool, man. She's an artist. She sleeps on a high level paint platform. And also him smoking weed seems so like really taking it in. But this sex scene,
the zippers, the pointless zippers.
So many zippers. He's like enveloping her, like tweaking her. He unzips.
The double boob zipper, the infamous double boob.
There's a sexual move that is to unzip her breast pockets. While, like, she's...
And then,
she has to unzip the main jacket herself because he did nothing.
Also, I'm just now noticing, are the windows painted?
Yes. As I'm saying, she's an artist.
There's art everywhere.
She can't stop. So they're like having sex dancing. And then he takes
this
off.
This is weird.
And then he's immediately naked.
He's in like a jumpsuit that he only half takes off.
But this, he definitely is not wearing underwear.
No underwear. And it's a rough scene. It was a rough scene for me to watch. The 15 times I saw
this
it.
This is what sex is, right?
Yeah, don't you just wave your arms?
Just lots of
make
arm
a couple maybe, of squiggly and then, lines.
And then lowering her to the floor.
And then standing and looking off into the distance.
I mean, he really also presents his body. She still has her clothes on, and he's completely naked.
Yeah, yeah.
And with a massive heart on.
Oh, totally.
And wow, massive, Paul? Massive? All right, man, be cool.
Massive.
Oh, and he's just got this rock hard horse cock. Oh, okay, Sheer, what's up?
I say massive because I don't believe that Chili is ever not erect.
Okay, Paul, wow. Paul, I'd like to see the rest of your notebook pages, please.
Well, you can see there's
Paul
some drawings.
Chili. Mr. There's and Mrs. Some drawings Paul Chili.
Some drawings of like different pants and just things. And then some hypothesis of what like Chili's cock and balls look like.
Oh man, Chili's got those cum gutters. Wear this massive hard on. TM Paul Scheer.
I did like kind of a thought of what a cock ring would look good on Chili, like different cock rings.
Oh, you know he's got that big, thick, veiny cock. Chili.
I'll let the people from London take a look at it. They can verify. June So June, I haven't. June's gone now.
Oh, man.
All right, so June, Avril pulled two of these things. And Allison, June, I would like you both to take a look and comment on these eyebrows. What's happening with these eyebrows?
Oh, wow.
Well, again, I watched
this. She's an artist.
Yes, I watched this on YouTube, so I actually didn't see these until now.
I didn't notice them either. I was slightly blurred through the entire film twice when I watched it.
Wow.
But they're really... Look, I'm for them. I like them.
I mean, clearly, it's not, like, she didn't grow them that way. This is a choice.
Yeah, sure
is. She carefully shaves them into this design. like it.
I was fascinated by her character. I mean, there was a part of me that like loved her life, you know, just sitting in that apartment, like committed to her art and craft.
Well,
like,
there's a way in which I would believe her to be also in desperately seeking Susan or After Hours.
After Hours,
you know what I mean? Like that kind of like Soho in the 70s and early 80s. You know, like especially in that scene where she's like stumbling home drunk early in the morning. Mm. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is like just like that chaotic, you know, nightlife New York.
Ugly New York. Roast beef New York.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story, people. Not like a scary story, so don't worry about that. It's not a vulgar story. And it's not even a sexy story. It's a story of ingenuity and perseverance. And you know what? Goddamn genius. And I'm the genius. All right. This is my beautiful mind story. We've had a lot of people complain, like, how do I get all my information about how did this get made? And I was like, oh, you know, I wish there was one place to put it. And I realized, call up my friends at Squarespace and let me open up my very own website. Now, why did I do that? Because I knew I didn't have a lot of time to design a website. And I knew that Squarespace was going to have these beautiful templates that were created by world-class designers and that I could get something up right away. Everything could be customized from the look and the feel to the settings and the products. They're all optimized right out of the box. I didn't have to spend a lot of time doing this, but now I have a brand new website, hdtgminfo.com, where you can find out everything that you need to know about us when we're on the road, frequently asked questions, the number to call in for the mini episodes. Everything is there. It's so convenient. And what I love about it is that I can track how many people are actually going and using the site. And I got 24/7 customer support, which I needed because I needed to transfer over a domain because I had it on a different server. Long story short, all I'm saying is these people helped me out. They didn't even pay for my site. I paid for my own fucking site, okay? How's that? Been doing ads for these people for years. I gotta pay for my own site? Yes, I do. But why? Because I actually believe in the product. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers, offer code bonkers.
In a lot of ways, it seems like maybe she's just Donald's whore. But I would argue...
Okay.
And you know, but Donald's cock, by the way, not as massive as Chili's.
Yeah, oh, Paul, did you want to run down your cock list size for the
Chili,
guys in the
great
movie?
Cock. Easy. Excellent cock. Terrence, not so great, but he knows how to use it. Jamma. Works for him. And then, of course, Snake. Of course.
Oh, man.
Listen, believe that Claire... I don't think she's a kept woman. Well, I don't know, though. I mean, I did... You know, when she was working out the moonwalk in her apartment... I did feel like she is leading a creative life. And there was something... And she's partying, and... I was very interested in that lifestyle.
Look, you didn't let me finish.
I'm sorry.
I would argue that she is actually in a power position with Donald and Terrence more than anyone. She's like the one who gets this amazing performance at the end. They seemingly give her whatever she wants. And I would like to say that her performance at the end of the movie
is so much better than anything Chili ever does.
My God.
And they're watching and they're like, she's ripping off Chili. I was like, is
Thank
she?
Thank God.
She's doing it better. Let her do it because she's good.
She's covering Smooth Talker or whatever the fuck that song was. Yeah. And it is so much better.
It's so good. It seems like a different song. And she's doing like, she can't do the breakdancing. She's just doing amazing dancing. Yeah. I loved her.
Well, let's see what you all thought about this film. We'll go out here for the newly titled segment of the show, Double Takes. This is your double take moment here. All right, sir, your breakdancing name and your question.
I think probably just like privileged, untalented white guy.
That would be your breakdancing name.
Yeah, I'd go by it. I was constantly confused by the ages of all these characters in the movie. Like, I feel like it opens and they're doing like they like what high schoolers would do. They're like tagging this thing. And then later, and then they're running around with a child. And later it's revealed that like she's a doctor. Which makes no sense. Like, how old are
and
these
also,
people?
And also, like, is Claire 30 or 80? Like, I have no idea.
Regardless, she looks great.
She looks great.
She looks great.
Anybody over here? Anybody over here? All right. It's gonna get here. Can you come here? Come on. All right. From the middle of the aisle.
Is Darlene a doctor? A full doctor?
No,
I sort of thought she was a nurse like, or just like a clerk.
I thought her work was more administrative. But.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it.
I'm really at the most at this point. I feel like she's maybe an RN
tonight.
Ma'am,
maybe she's an RN.
Well, an RN's a very like important position. You said at the most. I mean, RN is, that's...
I'm not trying to take away.
Okay.
Apologies to...
Yeah.
My mother was an RN. Oh,
yeah, to be a registered nurse is no fucking joke. Of medical training they get.
She's probably... Then she's probably a doctor? I don't know.
All right, ma'am, your breakdancing name and your question.
Well, I feel like now it has to be like Dr. Break or something. But I didn't understand why they couldn't get in, like his friends couldn't get in, but then in the final scene... All his friends are in the club.
No idea.
They couldn't get on the list, but then
I assume
all of a
magic put them all on the list.
Well, so at the end, it was like a huge event, right? That magic tells him about. And I also was confused as to why that's happening at Terrence's club.
It's
like,
because it was Chili's idea.
Oh, it was his
Chili
idea
Chili had
originally.
The idea to have like a, what's it called?
Extravaganza.
Rap extravaganza that they then that they then decided to do, but then they kicked Chili out, but they did it anyway.
Can I also say in that moment, no one's gonna care about this, but you know, Donald, the character, doesn't really speak the whole movie, even though he's like this all-powerful guy, which I kind of was like, hey Terrence, maybe you could have mentioned like that's who that old guy was that was hanging out. And until the very end of the movie when they're like, get him out of here. And his voice is like, what? He has the highest pitch. You're like, oh, maybe they cut all his lines because...
But by the way, they keep that...
dignified.
They keep that stare down between Chili and Donald. Like, I was like, wow, this is still going on.
Like, also... Donald is always in a tuxedo. He's never not.
How else would we know he was rich?
That's true.
Sir, your breakdancing name, your question.
My breakdancing name would be Kilowatt.
Great.
My question
no
is...
No further questions?
That's it. I don't know if June is a child labor expert, but I was concerned about Magic working at the club late at night. And his supervisor is his 10-year-old sister?
Good question.
So Magic's age, too, though, was in question to me. Because there were certain shots where I was like, oh, he's 9. And then there were other shots of him where I was like, is he 18? Like, I wasn't totally sure how old Magic was.
I think probably closer to 9.
Really?
I would say, like, 12. I would put him at like, you know, like...
He looked great for his age.
Yeah. Oh, he looked
aging
terrific.
Well.
I think
great
we all agree.
Well.
Magic looked great.
He looked great.
Sir, your breakdancing name, your question.
Super white. And and there were so many lines of dialogue in this movie that were completely unintelligible. And not just like, not pointless ones. Like...
Just can't hear.
He's intimately like in there face to face with his girlfriend. He's like,
Hey, girl.
Cut scene.
I agree with you. There is a lot of bad sound recording. It's the only movie that I noticed rain on a camera lens ever. When they're walking on the docks, they're like, there's rain on the lens. Never seen that.
There's also terrible lighting in like the last half of the movie. The last third of the movie has like occurs mostly in just darkness.
There are so many times I watched this on my computer where I kept on like trying to get the brightness up, and I was already at max.
Well, again, we can't fault the transfer. Because if this was the proper 4K treatment that we all want...
Oh, listen, I'm watching it in 240p on a fucking YouTube window. Just, like, put a bullet in my head. Not only do I have to watch this piece of shit, I have to watch it in low res?
What? Twice?
And they made me...
They're making me do it twice? That's crazy.
On a dial-up modem?
All right, ma'am, your breakdancing name and your question.
Chili's, parenthetical, actually the restaurant. So Little Luigi is actually Renee Elizondo, who is married to Janet Jackson on the down low. And I'm wondering if his association...
Allegedly.
If his association with this movie was enough to keep it down and buried.
Or is the reason why they're together because he was in this movie? I mean, yeah, just marrying into body rock is a very rare thing. All right, yes, sir, your breakdancing name, your question.
Breakdancing name is Just a Lot of Shoulders. Question, and I think the answer is yes. Do you think working on this movie might make someone want to change their career path?
Fair question.
But do you know something we don't?
Oh, hold on.
I posit that the director of photography of this movie saw a business owner using his power, abusing it for sexual gain, changed his career path from DP to federal prosecutor, because the director of photography of this movie is called Robert Mueller.
Amazing.
It's a long walk.
Wow.
It's a long walk. I don't know. They seem to have appreciated it. I'm medium on it.
That is good work to find out the DP. You know, we mentioned a rap extravaganza.
But you said it's Robert Mueller, not Robert Mueller.
There's an umlaut in the opening credits. He said there was an umlaut in the opening credits. It could have also just been the way it buffered. May not have been a new mark. The tagline of this movie was a rap extravaganza movie with dynamic music! ! Spectacular dance sequences! ! That is the tagline. So if you were to rent Body Rock or see it, 48% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that bad.
Not bad.
For a movie that's essentially impossible to find in high res, I'm amazed.
Budget, we don't know. Opening weekend, though, in 1984, it made $630,000. And the domestic gross was $1.6 million, which, based on everything I'm seeing, I feel like that was a success.
Huge.
If you told me it cost them $18,000 to make this movie, I would believe you.
Well...
A lot of it appears to just be B-roll that they stole of them walking on the streets of New York.
Well, now here is something interesting. So the top three movies of 1984, Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones, and the Temple of Doom. This movie was beat by Rhinestone, Streets of Fire, and Runaway, the things that we've done on this show.
Great.
And it beat nothing. So maybe it was a little bit lower. So that's what we know about. Those are the stats of Body Rock. But you know what? We certainly had an opinion about this movie, but we don't have the only opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
I watch movies, and it's all I can do on Amazon. I read all the reviews. These films are awesome. I want to tell you all what I thought. 5 stars is all I got. Second opinions. Don't you want to read my Amazon reviews? Second opinions. Don't let it slip away. Second opinions. I only want to share them with you. You might agree with me today.
Give it up for Trish.
Give it up for Trish. Yeah.
Trish, killing it. Woo. Great job, Trish. You have the best audience in the house. People out here in costume. You guys are in costume out there. Great costumes. I love it. Very rarely do we get people in full costumes. Do you have some chest hair bursting out there, too? All right.
What's on your back? Stand up. Turn around.
Whoa. It says Chili.
He's got a Chili jacket.
He just did a number of collar
pops. He's got a
pops.
Chili. That jacket's actually very big in London right now.
Can I ask you a question? Are you prepared to break dance? No.
He cannot break this, but neither can Lorenzo Lamas.
I was going to give you a shot. I was going to give you your shot, man. Your one shot to make it in the biz of breaking.
We got to bring you up here when we take pictures at the end. Just have you facing your... Yeah, we got to see that jacket. All right, so here's the thing, people. This movie is hard to find, right? So Amazon is not full of reviews, and the ones that were 5 stars are clearly facetious. Then they get really angry too. It's like, you know, from like Peter 07, who titles his review, Lamas is an idiot. or Nose, who just, Dr. Nose, who says body yuck. Not really a great world there for that. But I do have a review that I pulled from IMDb. So this one is pretty great. And it's one, a little bit longer than most, but we can stop and start. In the fine tradition of early hip-hop culture films such as Rappin', Breakin', Breakin' 2, Beat Street, Wild Style, Style Wars, not to mention Mixed Blood, Alphabet City, and even Gloria, although definitely more akin to the first 4 films mentioned, Body Rock is more than a worthy companion to those well-known films. Chili D is a kid? ? From the New York streets, who doesn't have a lot of money, but he has a big dream to make it big with his crew of dancers and rappers, the Body Rock crew. Through some streetwise tenacity, as well as a lucky break or two, Chili achieves his dream, but at what cost? He stops keeping it real and starts spending all of his time with these uptown snobs, forgetting his downtown roots. He even moves out of his old neighborhood and into a ritzy loft with his new snobby lady, causing a rift between him and his true love, not to mention alienating the entirety of his once-beloved Body Rock crew. Will Chili lose his soul and become a sellout, or will he connect with his roots and pop and lock his way into glory? Everything about Body Rock is great. The music is infectious, toe-tapping, and fun, assuming you don't jump out of your seat and start breaking right there on the floor. Which, actually, maybe because there wasn't a whole bunch of rap music at the time, encompasses a wide variety of genre. There's rap, dance, new wave, and even power pop represented. And then it goes on to talk about the fashions and then the dancing, and it goes, the little boy Magic gets some great moves off and is very charming, especially when he's teaching Chili how to dance, including the fan favorite sit-down dance. Also, the dancer in Chili's crew that looks like Reno 911's Thomas Lennon gives it all he's got and proves once and for all you could be a middle-aged white guy with a wife and kids and a mustache and still lay down some funking moves. And then it says, New York, this review is 3 pages, and it's, we're on the last page. It's broken down to sections. The sections that I just read were music, fashion, and now we're on New York City locations. Keeping it street, there are a lot of New York locations that captured all in their 80s glory. And it says, you can even see billboards for Romancing the Stone playing in Times Square. Great. And then, okay, then this is the final line here. From the opening of the film, when the Body Rock crew are dancing their way across the street, to the spray painting of the subway cars, to the dance sequences, to the training sequences, to Chili's downfall, where it becomes a pot-smoking lowlife, to the final rap extravaganza, which is basically the whole movie. You can't just say two, 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 two. You'd be like, from the beginning of the movie, when Indiana Jones finds that thing, to when he goes back to school, to the moment where he goes finds the other thing, to when he goes over here. That's the movie. You've just described the movie. It's awesome, especially if you're an 80s freak like me. You will have a lot to feast on with the underrated Body Rock. Don't just watch it tonight. Live it tonight.
Whoa!
5 stars.
That's great life advice.
That is creatively adding a backstory for the man with the mustache. We don't know that he's married with kids, right?
Yeah. We don't know. Maybe.
Maybe there's a
we
line that
we don't know.
We can't.
Jason.
We can't. Wow. Are you mad? Ellie, are you mad at me?
I'm fine.
What? Oh, God. Are you sure you're okay?
Everything's fine.
Oh. Oh, no.
Final thoughts. Final thoughts. Anyone, any final thoughts of things we have not covered? Things that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get a chance to?
I just want to say that in the second song, this sounds like something very specific to say as a final thought.
Yes.
But it's been on my mind.
Of course.
Speak your truth.
That the movie starts with the Body Rock song, and then it goes into a song about graffiti, and they reference Shakespeare and Moses.
I wrote that down. Yes.
And the line about Shakespeare is, "Have you heard about Shakespeare? He wrote a lot of good stuff."
And it says, "Brother Moses was all right. He wrote some good stuff." They rhyme good stuff with good stuff. Yeah, that was
That's my final thought.
That's a great one. A great one indeed. June, anything?
I mean, I know I've said some things about the form of breakdancing tonight. In thinking about it further and like having a couple minutes to reflect on it, I feel like I want to amend my statement from before, from earlier. I think with the exception of Magic's moves in this film, I could do the rest of the breakdancing. I just want to make that clear.
So Magic is a real dancer and everybody else is just doing gobbledygook?
Gobbledygook. And if I was stated,
four-limb
I could easily do it. If I got myself into the right state.
You have to go to Wild Wild Country, get in that zone.
Scott, if I got worked up enough, I could do it.
Jason?
With the exception of Magic.
This was a real roller coaster for me. You know, it hit a lot of my nostalgia buttons just from my old breaking days, you know. You know, I feel like I came here and had my first, what I would consider my first art form maligned by one of my dearest friends.
And I want to say something. I want to speak to that. Because what I feel badly about is I do think that for a lot of little girls, they have so many outlets to dance. You know, they have jazz, they have ballet. And I feel like for boys, they don't have many outlets.
Yeah.
And at the time you were coming of age, breakdancing was a way for
was a
you
way to, express.
To express yourself.
It was a way to express.
I know.
There I was, 12, 13 years old, wanting to express how I felt and how I was engaging with the world and my tiny mustache and trying to figure out the way my body was changing.
And everyone at those bar and bat mitzvahs and God.
Just trying to finger girls up behind the dumpsters. Unsuccessfully in a pink not even collared shirt. It doesn't matter. There were espadrilles involved. Guys, Miami Vice was a thing.
No, I know.
I also want to say that I have a correction and omission from something I said earlier. I said Bill Moses was a dancer. I think I meant Bill T. Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
There's that. Before I get a bunch of harassing on the street.
You know.
I wanted to bring up one thing that I thought was interesting. At the end, when Chili breaks into the club for the rap extravaganza, The audience in the club is all on board. They're clapping and cheering, and then the music stops, and then it's silent, and then his girlfriend, she does the one clap thing.
Yeah, the slow clap.
But you don't need a slow clap when the whole audience is on your side. Like, he didn't win them over.
Well, okay. Because they cut out the music. This was like, now the crowd was going to create the beat. But I would like to point out again.
Offbeat.
It was very offbeat. There were two different sets of claps.
Yeah.
So she starts like, ba, ba, ba. And then other people like, ba, 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 ba. It was just like... So it turned into applause.
Oh, I didn't realize that she was trying to start the beat.
That's what I thought too.
Music,
but it didn't matter because then it turned into give us back the music and break, which was the chant that the audience then starts doing to get Terrence to turn back the... Oh, God.
Well,
I'm going to say, I don't know that I would recommend people watch this
movie.
Well,
that was the question.
No.
I'll segue right into it.
Absolutely not.
I would say not. I mean, I would definitely listen to the song Vanishing Boys on repeat because I thought it was great.
Or just the body rock theme. Body rock.
I may buy the soundtrack if I can find it. If there's a Spotify playlist, I might listen to it.
I would listen to this music and break dance around my house just because it's a valid form of expression. And I mean, I would do the moves that I learned that are real moves.
I mean, listen, to me it was always like, I'm going to say something that's going to be really harsh. But whenever I see someone breakdancing, I feel embarrassed for them. I do.
Did you feel embarrassed for that breakdancer I just showed you?
Wow.
You feel embarrassed for that
breakdancer? No, I don't define what he was doing as breakdancing.
Okay, what is he doing?
I define breakdancing as like getting on the floor like a turtle. Like you're a turtle that can't flip over and just spinning around.
So you equate
It's harder
break
than
dancing,
it looks.
You equate breakdancing with helplessness?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And
I'm stuck down here.
Not,
I can't turn
I want to make this clear. It's not that I don't, you know, I'm not someone who loves like high art and ballet and all that stuff. Like this, I see where this is going. And I want to dispel that myth right away. Like there's, I love where breakdancing came from and all that. I find it unpleasant to watch.
So are you just saying like this type of breakdancing? I'm going to play another...
Homegirls, the New York City Breaker.
Amazing.
I could do that. This step. There's a level of difficulty that is absolutely.
How is your breaking in season two?
It's not very good. And that's where I want to say that when you try to learn stuff like this, then you realize the value because it's very difficult.
So just because something is difficult doesn't mean that it's good. And that's my opinion.
I'm not gonna lie, that's a t-shirt.
That's my opinion.
We got three t-shirts
available now
show.
On TeePublic.
Wow. All right, so I would recommend you do watch this movie. Boy, oh boy. Wow. All right, let's get to plugs. Allison, what do you want to talk about? Anything?
Oh, Glow Season 2 featuring... me breakdancing a very small amount. All episodes on Netflix, June 29th.
Very exciting. Nice. Very soon.
That's very exciting. Well, Grace and Frankie Season 4 is on Netflix right now. No breakdancing.
I've got nothing to plug, but I do want to say, Tom King, Mitch Gerrits, I see what you're doing out there. I don't like it. Get back to work. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I want to plug our brand new website, which is hdtgminfo.com. It has all of our upcoming shows.
And this is, we are following under InfoWars right now.
Yes, we are. It is not .info, it's HD. Somebody bought How Did This Get Made, and someone bought HDTGM, and they wanted to charge us a lot of money. So we are HDTGMinfo.com. And we have all of our tour dates. We are coming up in Denver, and we have a show coming up on the East Coast, close to a place that we played before that's involved in the movie Body Rock, but I can't officially announce it. Also, we are in Chicago and some other places. So definitely check that out, HDTGMinfo.com. It's simple. And also, I wanted to tell you guys to subscribe to, I'm doing a podcast miniseries with Amy Nicholson called Unspooled, where we are watching the AFI's top 100 movies. It's the converse of this show. We are actually watching good movies, which I've found to be incredibly refreshing. Whenever I have to watch one of those movies, like, this is great. And I feel smarter and better and lighter afterwards. So that is my cleanse, and this is my junk food. So we are doing that. You can subscribe right now wherever you listen to podcasts. And that is all. A big thanks to Avril Halley, who cut all these amazing clips, noticed all the eyebrows and the outfits. Nate Kiley did all the amazing research for a movie that is practically unavailable. So that is great. Everybody up in the booth, Kelly Alto. And thank you all for coming.
That's it, people. That is the end of the show. But before we go, I want to remind you, big news, Ben & Jerry's has a whole new line of frozen novelties called Pint Slices, which are made up of huge chunks and swirls surrounded by Ben & Jerry's legendary ice cream, all enrobed in a chocolate coating, available in 7 iconic flavors, including the Tonight Dough, Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough, Cherry Garcia, and Americone Dream. One slice gives you all the Ben & Jerry's that you want and need, plus their convenient handheld format makes them a great on-the-go snack. It's Ben & Jerry's, any way you slice it. Find out where to buy or get them delivered at benjerry.com.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer.
And I'm Amy Nicholson.
And we have a brand new podcast called Unspooled, where we are watching the 100 greatest films of all time.
Voted on by the AFI. We're going to be starting at number 1, Citizen Kane, jumping to number 100 with Ben-Hur, and doing films that we've never even watched before.
And we'll be talking to experts, whether it's a cinematographer or a stuntman. We're going to get behind these movies and figure out what makes them so great. So if you like the way this sounds, why don't you subscribe right now to Unspooled, wherever you listen to your podcasts.